Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I knew a few things were going to happen this Sunday night in worship. I knew that we were going to be having a commissioning of our chapel assistants for 2014-2015, and I couldn't think of a title for my sermon. Was I going to call it Do What I Say and Not What I Do, or Can You Please Set Up the Hymn Board Signs Because I'm Getting a Little Bit Old to Go Up on the Ladder? So I discarded that title. I read the Old Testament lesson from Exodus, and I saw in it the description that was given to the people of Israel, which became a very formal thing that was observed down through the ages, of preparing for Passover. On that first night before the Passover of the angel of death all over Egypt, they were given instructions, these Israelites, on how to prepare their food, but to be ready to go. Do I call the sermon Pack a Lunch and Be Ready to Journey? What do I call it? I discarded that too. I read the New Testament lesson to Romans and the Gospel lesson, and I saw in it some instruction and some encouragement, affirmation that Jesus gives to the disciples. And all I could think of at the very end, the two or three gathered, was the excuse that we often make when we have very low numbers showing up for Bible studies or worship services that mollify. And I knew that didn't have anything to do with what Jesus is saying to us. And so all of these things were swirling in my head as I centered on just what we are doing here this evening. So I left the title part blank. And I engage you and invite you to put a title of your own at the conclusion of the service. Tonight, we have gathered in this place, and we have engaged in a particular order of worship. Now, all orders of worship are called liturgy. Whether or not there's a contemporary or very informal style, or what we have here in our practice and tradition, a relatively formal style of liturgy and worship, because we engage the academic traditions of our university with the spiritual inquiry found in our chapel. And in this way, we have certain places in which we pray, and certain places in which we sing hymns, and certain places in which we engage in an activity of offering all unto God. As we saw this evening in our commissioning and recommissioning of chapel assistants, some powerful symbols of our faith that are not theirs exclusively, but remind us of all our vocational calling, regardless of our path in life at this point in time. The tippet, which our chapel assistants wear, and which I wear, it's a little bit different from a stole, but in some traditions you'll see wider, seasonal colored stoles. The tippets and the stoles come from different parts of our faith tradition. One element of the faith tradition is that it represents an ancient link back to the rabbinical prayer shawls that would be pulled over the head of the rabbi as he would be leading in prayer. But it's also seen symbolically as a yoke of responsibility. There's a little bit of weight to it. It's a reminder of the vocational call to which each of the chapel assistants and those who would minister to others have responded in the affirmative. They are wearing robes, as I am wearing a robe. This means that when we gather in worship and in ministry to others, we do not do so to promote ourselves or to demonstrate, oh, how wonderful we are and how pious we can be, and oh, we can read so nicely when we read scripture, or we will be loving people. Yes, celebrate me. Rather, the robes are symbolic reminders that when we gather in worship and in liturgy, we cover up ourselves, becoming mouthpieces, representatives of God's word, of Christ's body on earth, making ourselves available to others in ministry, not to promote ourselves, but with every act, with every thought, with every word of kindness and God's love, we are representing Christ and making that an offering. This night, we've gathered in this place, observing the acts of others, but also, hopefully, meditating upon our own calls to ministry and the ways in which they can unfold in accordance with God's love and God's law. And so these lessons have joined us in this worship service. No, the Israelites were not just packing a lunch and getting ready for a long trip. Instead, they were observing the faithfulness of God working in their lives and following the instruction of God for their lives and for the coming days. This beginning point, which we're given in Exodus, is not just something that ends and is then forgotten. Jewish tradition have people all over the world practicing this every year. And we in our Christian tradition, linking our New Testament understanding in Jesus Christ to the Exodus, the liberty that was afforded the people of Israel, can see that there is value in the lesson given to the ancient Israelites. Yes, they were to stay and be ready. They were to have a staff in hand and sandals tied up, ready to go. And it was because of this that they knew it was only a beginning point, that there would be a journey ahead of them. Tonight, the commissioning and recommissioning of our chapel assistants, and perhaps recommissioning in our own hearts, is important to note that it is only a beginning. It is not the end result. A beginning of a new step, a new chapter in our journey together. The symbols that we have, these outward and visible signs of inward and invisible truths, should go much beyond just a one-hour worship service on a Sunday in September. Rather, they should become truths that guide us into the coming days. Perhaps, as we saw the commissioning of our chapel assistants, we might have been reminded of important spiritual landmarks in our own lives. Baptism for some, confirmation for others, perhaps an initial call to turn towards God and away from self alone. These are the types of things that God stirs within our hearts when we gather to worship with one another, and we are reminded of God's faithfulness in our own lives. Those spiritual landmarks might have happened within a worship service, or they might have happened during an important event in one's life, the birth of a child or the death of a loved one, the movement from one place geographically to another, finding God's faithfulness in all of those landmarks important to us, and showing God's faithfulness not only to Israelites of a long ago past, or those first Christians who would gather, sometimes huddled in secret because of fear for their lives, but here with us now in this place. What symbols do we have that are on the outside that speak to the internal and eternal truths inside? But lest we think that all of these symbols and all of these instructions are for just us, something that we can rest upon and make it an individual thing, we are told by Scripture that there's something more happening than just being concerned about ourselves. Too often within the Christian denominations that I've witnessed, we focus upon singing about I and me, and what can Jesus do for me today, and how am I affected, rather than turning our vision outward. We would be reminded by Scripture tonight that as Jesus gives counsel to the disciples, that we are not to think of ourselves just as islands that do not affect others. Instead, being the body of Christ means being members of the body of Christ and not isolating ourselves. Where two or three are gathered, when you as a collective agree upon something, you will loose it in heaven as you've loosed it on earth. When you seek to find a path of love, of ministry, you do so together. This is why we work in community with one another. We do not cling to it on our own. We do not start by ourselves. We didn't have a service with one chaplain and one chapel assistant, and then another service with one chaplain and a chaplain. We do this as community. And we did this in our worship rather than away and apart from our community gathered here. We are to be reminded that we're accountable to one another in our ministry, in our love for the world and for one another, in our love for following the gospel of Jesus Christ. My father turned 80 in April. He has had a dream for a number of years. Not far from our cottage in Sussex, New Brunswick, there is a hot air balloon festival that happens at the end of August every year. For the last, I don't know, 25 years or so, my father has dreamed of getting into a hot air balloon and going up, up, and away. This year, he made plans to do so. Thankfully, the wind was such in Sussex that day that he was able to step into a balloon, be very terrified as he saw the earth pulling away from him, and then enjoy that beauty and that quiet as they flew from one spot in that valley to another and land gently and safely. I'm thankful. He also had another plan, though. He invited my cousin Kim to take part. She responded in the affirmative, and he was able to share this dream with Kim. And so now these two, uncle and niece, have something to chat about, to talk about, to share with others. And he did so much more by extending that little dream to another person that it has much more profound storytelling value into the coming days, something that he shared. That's just a very small example. But what ways can we share how God is working in our own life with others, rather than just trying to hoard our spiritual enlightenment to a selfish center? Another thing I am reminded of as the scripture lessons unfolded for us in this service is the need that is expressed in Exodus. We need to be prepared, you and I. We're going to face days that will bring surprises, some of them good and some of them not so good. Just when we think everything is going well, then reality and life take a U-turn. And we wonder, however will we move from a predicament? There will be times in which we are challenged because of sadness or anger, jealousy, envy. And again, we're called upon to be prepared in this life to meet those things with the love of God. God tells the Israelites to be prepared for their journey. God speaks to us in the same way. In our spiritual journey, in our life's journey, be prepared, calling ourselves once again, over and over, back to the center of our faith, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love that God gives to us to show to the entire world. Does it not say in Matthew's gospel that whatever we do here on earth is loosed in heaven? Well, as you and I, the body of Christ, are called upon to establish God's kingdom, we must always think about and talk about and deliberate and pray about those things that we do and say that can affect how the kingdom looks to others. Because as much as I may speak of community here, and we are who are gathered in this place of worship tonight, our responsibility does not stop there either. I've said it can't just be for individuals. And my friends, it can't just be for we who are in this place. Our responsibility, our mandate, not optional as far as the gospel of Christ goes, is to spread God's love, God's word of hope and reconciliation to every place on earth. What begins in individual commitment, be it in a commissioning or another experience to which we can call, what begins with preparedness and counsel from God and from others on how best we can initiate ourselves into this life must move within community and beyond the immediate boundaries of that community. Eli Stanley Jones was a 20th century Methodist Christian missionary and theologian. He's remembered chiefly for his interreligious lectures to the educated classes in India, thousands of which were held across the Indian subcontinent during the first decades of the 20th century. According to his and other contemporary reports, his friendship for the cause of Indian self-determination allowed him to become a friend of leaders of the up-and-coming Indian National Congress Party. He spent much time with Gandhi and the Nehru family. Gandhi challenged him and challenged his writing, which included an understanding, a mindset, a Christian one, I might add, of other realities, worldviews around the world. He leaves us with these words tonight as we seek to be prepared, as we seek to move beyond our own selfish needs and into an attitude of caring and love for all. Don't wait for some miracle to be performed on you from without, lifting you above your fears and doubts and self-centeredness. You help God from within by turning in outgoing love to others. Miraculously, then, your fears, your doubts, your self-centeredness will vanish. The miracle starts within, not from without. This evening, as we have worshiped together, as we have personally been recommissioned to follow God's plan for our lives, may we see the miracle that God gives to us in that capacity to be members of the body of Christ. Amen.